You know, I was thinking of something this week as we consider this beautiful Christmas season, as we think about what this season means. You hear a phrase often. You hear a phrase to describe Christmas. And it's a phrase I'm going to give to you here. I suspect you've heard it before. That phrase is the spirit of Christmas. The Christmas spirit. You often hear it said of people, that person really just has the Christmas spirit. Or I'm just not feeling the Christmas spirit right now. What do we usually mean when we're talking about the Christmas spirit? What do we usually mean? We're usually talking about someone who's being very generous. Oh, that person's in this Christmas spirit. Did you hear how much, you know, many clothes they donated? Or maybe it's a spirit of joy. Oh, that person just really seems like they're enjoying the Christmas season. They really have got the Christmas spirit. Or it may be of gratitude. It may be of peace. It may be of love and of goodwill toward other people. The Christmas spirit. But I'm going to suggest to you this morning that scripturally there's another kind of Christmas spirit that we all should come into. And it's a Christmas spirit that is perfectly demonstrated in these stories today of the women of Christmas. And it's a story that's perhaps best demonstrated scripturally by the illustration, by the story of Mary. This Mary, as we saw today in from Luke chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Luke chapter 1 so we can look at that together. Luke chapter 1, there's a woman named Mary. And she is minding her own business. Now, we get an idea of Mary that, what do you think of when you think of Mary? You probably think of maybe, a young woman. She's about college age or a little older. She's got, that does not appear to be what Mary was scripturally. You know, Mary may have been as young as 13 years of age. How many people here today are 13 years old? You're 13 years old. I see some of the young women. Mary could have been your age when she heard this. She could have been 14, 15, 16. Women were typically married very young at that time. And now imagine here in Luke chapter 1, as we see in verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. So what's going on here? Here is a woman named Mary, and she is engaged. She is engaged to a man named Joseph, but they have not yet been married. In our terms, she would have had an engagement ring on, but it wouldn't have been her wedding day yet. So this young woman is here waiting till the day when she would be married. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Today, the first thing I want to discuss today is what I'm going to call a shocking revelation. A shocking revelation. It started, first of all, with a shocking appearance. Here, out of nowhere, an angel appears. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever had an angel appear to you, but I have not. Now, you can imagine how startling this would be to a 13, 14, 15-year-old girl. She's standing here out of nowhere, and suddenly there is an angelic being standing in front of her with a message. Now, here's something that made it even more amazing. You have to understand the context of this time that we're in. This is Israel sitting under great darkness, great spiritual darkness, because its spiritual rulers were not following after God. They were walking according to what they thought was the law of God, but they were actually leading people into greater and greater darkness. They were also in great physical darkness. They were under the oppression of Rome. They were essentially treated like second-class citizens, like slaves. Do you know what a Roman soldier could do to any Jewish boy or girl? He could say, hey boy, come take my stuff, this heavy pack that I have, 60 or 80 pounds, put it on your back and walk. You say, well, Noah, I'm going to the market. My mom needs something. I'm going to get a little something to bring home. No, sorry. Take it on your pack and back and walk a mile. They were under great oppression. And they were under great also the darkness in the fact that there were no prophets at this time. If you go back through the Old Testament, you see prophets standing up and saying, "Thus saith the Lord." But until we get to the after we get to the last book in our Old Testament, the book of Malachi, it's like the light goes off in prophetic speaking for over 400 years. For over 400 years, there's no authoritative message from God. For over 400 years, there's not a prophet standing up. For over 400 years, there's not an angelic message to the people. And suddenly, there is now one that first we saw appeared to Zacharias, but now that appears to this young woman named Mary. What a shocking appearance. But it wasn't just a shocking appearance. Secondly, it was a shocking announcement. The announcement that he makes to her. Let's look at this in verse number 30. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Oh, that's no big deal, right? No big deal for an angel to stand up to you and say, "Mary, you are going to have an eternal king. You are going to bring forth from your body, from your womb, the person who is going to rule forever and ever." Think that would be a surprising announcement? You know, that'd be a surprising statement to make, that the one that you is going to come through humble Mary's womb is going to be the great king of all the world. But it wasn't just a shocking announcement. It was a shocking accomplishment. You see, perhaps the most shocking part of this was what Mary said. She recognized in the very next verse, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Mary was a virgin. Mary was still engaged. She had not yet come together with her husband. She had not had no opportunity to conceive a child. Now, this is truly astonishing. This is God saying to her, "Mary, you're going to have a child, but it's not because you've been with a man." Now look at the angel says to her, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Why was Jesus the Son of God? It's because he had a human mother, so he was the son of man, but he had no human father. His father was God. The Holy Spirit was the one who placed that child in Mary's womb. What a shocking accomplishment. What a shocking revelation to a 13 or 14 or 15 year old girl that you are going to have a baby. This baby is going to be the Son of God. It's going to be the ruler of all the world. And it's going to come before. It's going to become unlike anything that's ever has come in the past, because it's going to be implanted in your womb by the Son of God, or by God Himself. What a shocking revelation. Well, as we saw a shocking revelation. Mary, a young woman, having this appearance of an angel before with a shocking announcement, with a remarkable accomplishment that was predicted. But I want to focus on today is not just this shocking revelation, but a striking response. What was Mary's response to all this? Her response could have been exactly that of Zacharias, a priest who shouldn't have been nearly as surprised by the appearance of the angelic messenger to him. He says, "Really? Really? I don't believe that. I'm too old for that. My wife is too old." Mary makes a remarkable statement. After this message to her from the angel, this is what Mary says. "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Now, if we could put that in a way we might say it today, here's what she said in just everyday English. She said, "Hey, I'm your servant. let it be done exactly to me like you said. I am your slave, God. I am God's slave, therefore, let everything you just said about me getting pregnant, about me bringing forth the Son of God, about me bringing forth the one who would be the ruler of the people, let it be done. Just exactly like you said. Now let's find why this is such a striking response. Why it's truly such a remarkable thing, first of all, by the awareness. Now you've got to realize at this day and age, What a shocking thing it was when someone was to become pregnant before marriage. Now, sadly, in our day and age today, this is something that is almost expected. I saw a statistic recently that now under, I think it's 60% of people in American homes are married when they bring forth their first child. And including in these communities that we're in here, there are even higher percentages of out-of-wedlock births. Now, for those that have gone through that, for children that have been produced where the parents are not married, or for people who have brought forth children without being married, I don't say this in any condemnation. I don't say this in any with any pointedness toward the product. But we need to understand what the Bible says about it. The Bible says God's purpose is for a man and a woman to come together as man and wife before they bring forth children. Because the product of a birth that is out of wedlock, that is not married, is the product of sin. Of coming together in sex before marriage or outside of marriage. We understand that. And in this day of age, they got it. When someone was found to be pregnant before marriage, it was a shocking thing. It was a scandalous thing. And so Mary was understanding, when I stand up, and when I, as a young woman who am not yet married, when I am found to be pregnant, it is going to be a scandalous thing. Do you know what Mary faced? If Joseph, her espoused, her engaged, her fiancé, her fiancé could have said, no, I'm not marrying you. That's not mine. Can you imagine if you were engaged to someone, or if a man was engaged to a woman, she became pregnant, he knew it wasn't hers, or it wasn't his, what he would say? Huh, something's wrong here. I better rethink this whole marriage thing. Not only that, her father could have even cast her out and said, you're not staying with me anymore. You have shamed the family name. He could have kicked her out. Mary knew all those things. Mary knew all of this scandal that would come. Can you imagine what people would have thought when Mary said, yeah, no, I promise, I saw an angel, and he said, I'm putting a child in your womb. Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, okay, I believe you. No, but this is what Mary knew. This is what Mary understood. This would be a scandal. And yet Mary's response was, let it be done exactly as you have said. I'll take that on. I'll bear that. Secondly, it was not just an awareness. Secondly, look at her answer. She said, I am the slave, I am the servant of the Lord. What a remarkable answer of submission that was. Here is an angel that comes in to give a news to her that would change her entire life. Maybe she had visions of her marriage coming up and of how that whole day would work out, exactly what she would be on that special day she would be given to her husband, Joseph. Oh, the wonderful friends and family that would come around. And now all that is changing. Now suddenly she's going to be a young mother. She's going to be pregnant before she is married. What is her response to this? I'll tell you what my response might have been. No thanks. Isn't there someone else that you can give this job to? I don't want my life ruined, God. I don't want it like that. But no, she recognized who she was. She said, I'm just the servant of the Lord. Whatever the Lord wants to give in my life, I'm going to take it, because who am I? I'm just the Lord's servant. I'm just the Lord's handmaid. Be it unto me exactly as you said. So we see not only the awareness, the answer, but third, the attitude. It's an attitude of submission. An attitude that says, God, whatever you bring into my life, I'll take it. Let it be exactly like you want it. God, whatever this word says, I'll do it exactly like it said. God, whatever your plan is, may I accomplish it exactly what it is. Why? Because I'm just a servant. I am in submission. I am coming underneath God and His plan for my life. Do you know there's an element of that submission in essentially all of these stories that we're hearing today about these great women of faith? The submission of Anna, who, though she was living on her own as a widow, though she was continually coming into the temple, waiting to see the promise of God, she said, I'll keep on going. I'll keep on serving God. I'll keep on in my old age being faithful to worship Him and lift Him up. What about the faithfulness, the submission of Elizabeth, who even though she was barren, took that on as God's plan for her life until she was rewarded with a child? All these wonderful pictures of submission to a divine plan. May I suggest to you this morning that this is the spirit of Christmas? That this is the spirit of Christmas, to submit ourselves to the plan that God has sent into the world and to say to Him, be it unto me just exactly like it was prophesied? I'd suggest to you that it is. And we'll look in our third point in just a few moments about what God's plan is for us and how we can respond with that submissiveness of Mary. Be it exactly to me like you said. Well, as we saw a shocking revelation. Mary, a young woman, having this appearance of an angel before with a shocking announcement, with the remarkable accomplishment that was predicted. But I want to focus on today is not just this shocking revelation, but a striking response. What was Mary's response to all this? Her response could have been exactly that of Zacharias, a priest who shouldn't have been nearly as surprised by the appearance of the angelic messenger to him. He says, "Really? Really? I don't believe that. I'm too old for that. My wife is too old." Mary makes a remarkable statement. After this message to her from the angel, this is what Mary says. "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Now, if we could put that in a way we might say it today, here's what she said in just everyday English. She said, "Hey, I'm your servant. Let it be done exactly to me like you said. I am your slave, God. I am God's slave, therefore, let everything you just said about me getting pregnant, about me bringing forth the Son of God, about me bringing forth the one who would be the ruler of the people, let it be done just exactly like you said." Now let's find why this is such a striking response, why it's truly such a remarkable thing, first of all, by the awareness. Now you've got to realize at this day and age, What a shocking thing it was when someone was to become pregnant before marriage. Now, sadly, in our day and age today, this is something that is almost expected. I saw a statistic recently that now under, I think it's 60% of people in American homes are married when they bring forth their first child. And including in these communities that we're in here, there are even higher percentages of out-of-wedlock births. Now, for those that have gone through that, for children that have been produced where the parents are not married, or for people who have brought forth children without being married, I don't say this in any condemnation. I don't say this in any with any pointedness toward the product. But we need to understand what the Bible says about it. The Bible says God's purpose is for a man and a woman to come together as man and wife before they bring forth children. Because the product of a birth that is out of wedlock, that is not married, is the product of sin, of coming together in sex before marriage or outside of marriage. We need to understand that. And in this day of age, they got it. When someone was found to be pregnant before marriage, it was a shocking thing. It was a scandalous thing. And so Mary was understanding, when I stand up, and when I, as a young woman who am not yet married, when I am found to be pregnant, it is going to be a scandalous thing. Do you know what Mary faced? If Joseph, her espoused, her engaged, her fiancé could have said, no, I'm not marrying you. That's not mine. Can you imagine if you were engaged to someone, or if a man was engaged to a woman, she became pregnant, he knew it wasn't hers, or it wasn't his, what he would say? Huh, something's wrong here. I better rethink this whole marriage thing. Not only that, her father could have even cast her out and said, you're not staying with me anymore. You have shamed the family name. He could have kicked her out. Mary knew all those things. Mary knew all of this scandal that would come. Can you imagine what people would have thought when Mary said, yeah, no, I promise, I saw an angel, and he said, I'm putting a child in your womb. Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, okay, I believe you. No, but this is what Mary knew. This is what Mary understood. This would be a scandal. And yet Mary's response was, let it be done exactly as you have said. I'll take that on. I'll bear that. Secondly, it was not just an awareness. Secondly, look at her answer. She said, I am the slave. I am the servant of the Lord. What a remarkable answer of submission that was. Here is an angel that comes in to give a news to her that would change her entire life. Maybe she had visions of her marriage coming up and of how that whole day would work out, exactly what she would be on that special day she would be given to her husband, Joseph. Oh, the wonderful friends and family that would come around. And now all that is changing. Now suddenly she's going to be a young mother. She's going to be pregnant before she is married. What is her response to this? I'll tell you what my response might have been. No thanks. Isn't there someone else that you can give this job to? I don't want my life ruined, God. I don't want it like that. But no, she recognized who she was. She said, I'm just the servant of the Lord. Whatever the Lord wants to give in my life, I'm going to take it, because who am I? I'm just the Lord's servant. I'm just the Lord's handmaid. Be it unto me exactly as you said. So we see not only the awareness, the answer, but third, the attitude. It's an attitude of submission. An attitude that says, God, whatever you bring into my life, I'll take it. Let it be exactly like you want it. God, whatever this word says, I'll do it exactly like it said. God, whatever your plan is, may I accomplish it exactly what it is. Why? Because I'm just a servant. I am in submission. I am coming underneath God and His plan for my life. Do you know there's an element of that submission in essentially all of these stories that we're hearing today about these great women of faith? The submission of Anna, who, though she was living on her own as a widow, though she was continually coming into the temple, waiting to see the promise of God, she said, I'll keep on going. I'll keep on serving God. I'll keep on in my old age being faithful to worship Him and lift Him up. What about the faithfulness, the submission of Elizabeth, who even though she was barren, took that on as God's plan for her life until she was rewarded with a child? All these wonderful pictures of submission to a divine plan. May I suggest to you this morning that this is the spirit of Christmas? That this is the spirit of Christmas, to submit ourselves to the plan that God has sent into the world and to say to Him, be it unto me just exactly like it was prophesied. It's a powerful thing as we think about Christmas that one of the prophecies at Christmas to Mary was, a sword is going to pierce your soul. And as we stop here at this Christmas season, as we think about all the joy of Christmas and all the remarkable news that was portrayed, let's also not forget what Mary went through at that cross. As not only was her Savior being nailed to that tree. It was her son being nailed to that tree. And that sword did pierce through her own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts might be revealed. Well, we've talked here today about this wonderful spirit of Christmas, the submission that Mary showed to this shocking revelation, this striking response. And third, let's understand a sobering requirement. A sobering requirement. It starts, first of all, with an account. Do you know that God has revealed His will to you just as much as He revealed it to Mary by an angel? Now, we talked today, I've never seen an angel. I doubt any of you have seen an angel either. And yet, do you know that in this word, that in this Bible that I hold right here, is every bit as much of God's revelation to you as if an angel stood up to you and said it? Do you know that if an angel stood up to you this morning and read to you the Word of God, it would be no less true as applied to you than tonight if you go by your bedside and read it for yourself? In fact, Paul says in Galatians 1, he says, I want to tell you something. He said, if even an angel preaches to you a different gospel than what's contained in this book, let him be cursed. In other words, this has a divine message that is like an angel is standing up and saying it straight to you, just like Mary had. What is that message? What is the account that is given to us at this Christmas season? It's really very simple. It's a sobering account. It's an account that says to each of us that we are sinners, that we one day will stand before a holy God and be judged for our transgressions, that every one of us are like sheep that has gone astray. We have gone all on our own way. We have rebelled against God. We have said no when He has said yes. We have said yes when He has said no. And as a result of that, there is a judgment that is proclaimed against us. A judgment that says, if you do not keep this law, if you do not fulfill God's commandments, you will be accursed. What Scripture teaches is the place of that judgment is an eternal judgment in what Scripture describes as the lake of fire, what we call hell. And that is a true judgment and a righteous judgment brought upon each of us because this word has given us the standard by which to live, and each and every single one of us in one way or another, day after day, has failed to live up to that standard. We have fallen short of the glory of God. It's a sobering account that each one of us has to live. It's as if an angel is standing before you and saying, you, my friend, are condemned. You are doomed. You are not going to be standing before God and being entering into His rest of heaven. You are going to be judged eternally with separation from God. That is, at essence, the account that Scripture gives to each of us. And you see, we have to, as Mary did, acknowledge that account, acknowledge that message that is given against each and every single one of us. You see, the requirement is not just to understand that account, but secondly, it's an acknowledgement. It's the same acknowledgement that Mary gave. I'm the servant of the Lord. Be it unto me just as you have said. You know, the Bible says that one thing that is required before we can enter into heaven, before we are saved, before we are born again, is that we must repent. Scripture says, in Jesus' own words, He said, except you repent, you will perish. You will die. Your end result will be death, both physical and spiritual. Now, what is repentance? Repentance involves changing our mind. Now, some of you may be fickle people. Someone asks you, hey, do you like it like this or like that? You say, I like it like that. 5 minutes later, oh, no, actually, I changed my mind. I like it like that. What are you saying? You're having a change of mind. And this is exactly what Scripture gives as necessary to our salvation. Before, we are rebelling against God. We are resisting Him. We are saying no to Him. When we change our mind, we say, God, You're right. I was wrong. We say, God, what You said about me is true. I do deserve eternal punishment in hell. God, what You have said about me is absolutely right. I can't get to heaven on my own because all my good things don't mean anything to You. In fact, You'd rather not, thank You very much. God, I know that not only can I not get to heaven on my own, the only way that I can get to heaven is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ when He came and died on the cross to pay the penalty, to pay the punishment, to take the punishment that I deserved. That is the only way that I'm getting to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God. No man enters heaven's gate but by me. That's what Jesus said. Those are His own words. And for us to be saved, for us to have our sins paid for us to be able to get on the path that leads to eternal life, it requires the attitude of Mary, the spirit of Mary that says, God, You are right, and be it unto me just like You said. I'm following Your path. I'm going to do it Your way. It's an essential acknowledgement for every single one of us. But third, let's understand the third requirement. It's of acceptance. Mary said, I am the servant of the Lord. Be it unto me exactly as You have said. In that statement was not only submission, but it was also faith. That what God's plan was the best plan. That whatever God said had to be the best thing for her to experience. Now, what does faith look like for each and every single one of us? What does faith look like if you're sitting here today and you are still rebelling against God? What does faith look like if you are sitting here today and you still are at enmity with God because you're still saying no to God's plan? What does it look like if you're saying to God, no, I feel like I can get to heaven on my own. I just need to do a little bit better in my life. I just need to come to church a little bit more. Maybe I'm already going to heaven because I had some water sprinkled on me as a baby. That's going to get me there. No, that's not what Scripture says. Scripture's plan involves our acknowledgement that God is right and we're wrong, and it also involves an acceptance of saying to God, Your plan is going to be my plan. Your path to heaven is going to be my path to heaven. God, I give up. I lay down my weapons that I was using to fight against You. I'm sick of being on my own path. I'm choosing Your path. I can't get to heaven on my own. I can only get there through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to start trusting Him for eternal life. What Jesus said this salvation is really quite simple. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. This morning, you can take that spirit of Christmas and apply it for yourself. You can be the one that goes from walking your own path and hear that message of Mary and say, I'd rather be going God's path. And all that it requires is exactly what we've said this morning, an acknowledgement that you are a sinner, that you can't get to heaven on your own, that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life. And then second, that acceptance of it for yourself. Be it unto me like you said. And it involves a prayer that says to God, God, would You apply that payment of Jesus Christ, His punishment, the punishment that He took, would You apply it to my account? Would You forgive my sin? Would You take away my guilt? Would You write me in Your book of life? So that I can be saved and be on a new path that leads to eternal life. It's not just for those who are not born again, though, today. It's also for each one of us here who has been born again, who has entered that path. Maybe as you look at your life, you don't see that spirit of Mary, of submission, but you see your own pride getting in the way. Maybe God's been tapping at an area of your life and saying, you need to give that up, that's wrong. Is today the day that you're going to submit and say with Mary, God, be it unto me just like you said? Maybe today you have been struggling with an area that you know is sin in your life. Maybe you've been struggling with something that God says, you need to start being more faithful in this area. You need to start submitting and doing this. The boss is telling you something. The Lord is saying, this is what you have to do. You've been resisting. Today's the day to take that spirit of Mary. I'm just your servant, Lord. You've bought me with a price. I'm your slave. Be it unto me exactly like you've said, I will do whatever you are calling me to do. Friends, that's the spirit of Christmas. I pray that each one of us would come into it this morning. Because today there may be some people here who have never entered the Christmas spirit of understanding what that life of submission and repentance looks like. So I invite you today that if you're here, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never repented of your sin, you've never turned, as we just saw there, your life has not been turned, your life has not been changed. Today can be the day of salvation. What a wonderful story it would be for you that if this Christmas season represented the time for you in your life when you were turned, when you repented, and you began a new life in Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for this great Christmas story. Thank you for this spirit that we see in Mary of submission to the will of God and of that real, the seeds of that repentance. Father, we know that you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. Father, I pray that if there's someone here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today they would humble themselves, they would repent of their sin, they would believe in Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross, and they would be saved. They would be born again. Now we just take a brief moment here before we continue with the conclusion of this service. If there's anyone here who recognizes that they've never submitted themselves to the will of God as it concerns salvation, but they would like to today. We give an opportunity at the end of every service to slip out from where you are. Come here to see me at the front. Someone will take a Bible and show you how you can be saved, how you can show that submissive spirit of Mary that will lead to the salvation of your soul. Is there anyone that would come this morning to be saved? Teachers, I've seen some hands raised in your class. If you see any of those with me, why don't you take the opportunity after service to give someone, one of your children, a lesson of the gospel. Father, thank you for this Christmas story. May each one of us come into its full meaning this year. May not one person leave this sanctuary this morning without having trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.